Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walter Show under the auspices, I guess you would say, of Red Sky Radio. Red Sky Radio is going to expand in some different directions, only one of which is, of course, this program, the Robin Walter Show. We will be doing some other things, but I promise to bring you good news, end with good news, or at least a word of encouragement today. And I want to launch with what I think everybody has heard, and on the surface, it's good news in that OSHA has suspended the implementation and the enforcement of the vaccine mandate. In other words, what we all knew is that what Joe is trying to do with compelling employers mandate, you have to have take the jab if you have 100 employees or more, was unconstitutional. He has no authority. He's not the chief medical person. The executive, there is no law that mandates this. There is no law. He just made it up. This is a problem, and this is a problem with Republicans, too. This is not just a Democrat thing, where they confuse executive orders with executive orders. It's not just whatever you admit as a president is law or governor. That's dictatorial. That's government by fiat. And, of course, the Fifth Circuit gave an initial injunction against it, a temporary stay, and now that appears to be permanent, pending further review, which probably or could only mean the Supreme Court. Now, I don't think the Supreme Court got this from me, but I've been saying it for a long time. No elected official has the authority to exceed their authority. Do you know there isn't even a place in the U.S. Constitution anywhere for a national police force? It's not stated anywhere. It's not a power the federal government has. If you look at it, actually the FBI is unconstitutional. The police powers exist only for the states and for those things for which the United States government is specifically responsible. So in other words, the federal government has the authority to deal with whether something is going to be patented, right? Or copyrighted. Those are exclusively reserved to Congress, to the federal government. So police powers that the government has can really constitutionally exist no further than the powers that the federal government has been authorized by way of the Constitution to police. You can't police more than what you've been granted the authority to police. So whether it's the FBI investigating families that are protesting school boards or any of this nonsense, or in this case, increasingly using federal, maybe it's one and the same here, China, maybe it was a Freudian slip, federal authority, federal power, federal muscle to implement something that the president had no authority to issue to begin with is actually a doubly unconstitutional act, both the order itself and then the attempt at enforcement. So what did the court say? Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans said that OSHA's mandate is staggeringly overbroad, to use its words, and ordered it to, quote, take no steps to implement or enforce the mandate until further court order. Okay. It went on to say that this order, quote, raises serious constitutional concerns and likely exceeds the federal government's authority. So the court is leaving it open for the Supreme Court to do otherwise, but I got to believe the Supreme Court, if it's any sort of court at all, will have to uphold the ban on the mandate. In other words, uphold the Fifth Circuit's decision. But as interesting as this development is, which is not really surprising because he has no authority, OSHA came out and said, they said, well, this is for the safety of the workers. Do you know why we know that that's a lie? Because it was only applied to 100 companies with 100 workers or more. Well, why is COVID only a risk in companies that have 100 or more employees and is not a health risk to workers, if it's a risk at all, if you have less than 100 employees? You see how ridiculous, you see how full of themselves the Democrats are? They don't make sense at any level. OSHA's there for workplace safety. Why does workplace safety only happen when you have a certain number of employees? No, it doesn't. If it's contagious in a workforce of 5 or 25. Or why have it at 100? Have it at 1,000? Purely arbitrary and discriminatory. It was purely done for political reasons. If it were done for health reasons, he would have done it for all companies, even though he has no authority, but it would have been done for all companies. And I'm still not to the worst of it. And this is good news. Can't you tell? This is a sickening, nauseating, condescending, narcissistic, bloviated blather coming from our fake President Joe, no brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. The White House, notwithstanding the order of the court to OSHA to stop, to basically cease and desist with this very probably unconstitutional activity of trying to force a mandate, the White House doubles down. Biden's out there. Jen Psaki, they continue to demand that employers adhere to the mandate, even though the court has told them. You see, no, this is why they want to stack the court, pack the court. They want to rework it, get rid of conservatives, because they get in the way of their all-controlling, all-consuming desire to be kings of the world and controlling everybody's life. Why is it that so many Democrats really want to be the Antichrist? Control. That's all they're after. That's all Satan wanted was control. That's all Democrats want is control. It's the defining characteristic of both Satan, the Antichrist, who animates the animation of Satan, and Democrats. That's their defining characteristic, control. So they don't even listen to the Fifth Fifth Circuit. Who needs them? Okay, you employers, go ahead and do this, even though we just had a court shoot it down. They've got no respect for law. See, not only is there no legal basis for Biden to have issued the mandate, not only is there no legal basis to now enforce the mandate, there is no legal basis for Biden and his yin-yangs to be ignoring the Fifth Circuit. This is the depth of depravity among all that frankly are part of this administration. Few work for this administration. You know, there's probably some Obadiahs. You know who Obadiah was? He was that very righteous man who was second in command under King Ahab, who was decidedly wicked. And if you're in that position, you may call yourself an Obadiah, but if you are sitting in a wicked organization as a righteous person, and you're fairly high up, you have a position of authority and influence. Obadiah was only the man that he was because he did something about it. It said he took food to the prophets, 50 prophets at a time, hiding in caves, who were hiding out because of Ahab's wife Jezebel, who hated anything that was godly. Jezebel, kind of the female Antichrist prototype, if you will. But he did something about it. So, I'm here, not just to tickle your fancy, but to prompt you and provoke you into doing something. Because if you want to attain to the status of an Obadiah, a righteous man or righteous woman, in a wicked and corrupt government, wicked and corrupt company, you have to do something to earn that status. Otherwise, you're just part of the problem. Sorry, that just came out. Okay, all right, I'm not new to this story. I know that. This came out yesterday. Well, actually, it would be Thursday. We're recording this on Friday morning about the FDA is asking the court for 55 years to fully release the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. Give me a break. This is such a ridiculous joke. I mean, okay, I've got a quote. Who am I quoting here? All right, let me see if I can get your name right, Ivan. Ivan Panchukov. Sounds pretty Russian to me, but he sounds like a good guy. Ivan Panchukov, P-E-N-T-C-H-O-U-K-O-V. You know, this is purely as a side note. In Russian Scrabble, V's would not be worth 4 points. And in Polish Scrabble, K's would not be worth 5 points. Just a little thought on my mind here, because I know inquiring minds want to know those kinds of things. So he writes, and I quote, "It took the FDA 108 days from when Pfizer started producing the records for licensure to when the FDA licensed the Pfizer vaccine. But taking the FDA at its word, it conducted..." Because the FDA said this, I'm throwing that in. It stated that it conducted an intense, robust, you know what that corporate word speak is 10 years old, robust. Anyway, it conducted an intense, robust, thorough, and complete review and analysis of these documents in order to assure that the Pfizer vaccine was safe and effective for licensure. While it can conduct that intense review of Pfizer's documents in 108 days, it is now asking for slightly over 20,000 days to make these documents available to the public." End quote. You see, the government, the FDA, told the court it has 329,000 pages of documents in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. And its proposal is to release only 500 pages per month to allow them to redact exempt material. So, do the math. The FDA is actually asking that for the full release of the records in question, that they be given 55 years. Because they can only do 500 pages a month. That's only 17 pages a day. The FDA can only release 17 pages a day and needs over 20,000 days to get the documents out, even though the FDA, after this intense, robust, thorough, and complete review and analysis of the documents, assured the public that Pfizer vaccine was safe and effective for licensure in 108 days. You see, it's warp speed under Trump, but it's snail speed under Biden. Well, Biden could only hope that he was as fast as a snail. Doesn't it take him to go from the White House to the chopper to head to Camp David, he's got to pack a lunch. It takes so long to get there. Well, Ivan goes on to say here, I need to finish quoting Ivan. He did such a good job on this. Way to go, Ive. One of the companies involved in the trials of the Pfizer vaccine earlier this month said it was investigating alleged problems brought to light by a whistleblower who told the British Medical Journal, and I might just throw in up here my own regard here, the British Medical Journal is very highly regarded worldwide, that the Pfizer trials were riddled with issues, including the falsification of data. The whistleblower by the name of Brooke Jackson alerted the FDA about the falsification in data, and within 3 hours, he was fired. He was working for Ventavia Research Group, which was running several Pfizer trial sites. Now, Brooke should have a really, really good lawsuit. This is called a retaliatory firing. When you have an employer that retaliates because you have the audacity to actually speak the truth for something that they are hiding and withholding, you have a good lawsuit. So hopefully he will end up owning Ventavia Research Group and do something worthwhile. So Pfizer's administered 256 million doses of their vaccine so far in this country. So let me just figure this. If they need 55 years to get it right? Is that what they do? Do they need 55 years to cover 329,000 pages of falsified data? Things that the because that's a big honking refrigerator to shine the light under. I understand that. They're asking for more time than it took the state of Hawaii to produce a fake Barack Obama birth certificate. Look, folks, they dinked around on that for well over a year till they finally got it out. And, of course, the Jewish Institute of Forensic Studies or something, I don't know if I have that name quite right, but out of Tel Aviv, the Israeli Institute of Forensics, which is out of Tel Aviv, said the Barack Obama alleged birth certificate is one of the worst forgeries they've ever seen. It was the best the state of Hawaii or whoever Obama's handlers could do over the year that he stonewalled on that. I mean, after all, come on, folks. Who takes the Fifth Amendment over their birth certificate if they didn't have anything to hide? Yep, Obama, the man behind the curtain, lurking in the shadows. Now, somebody else is pulling his strings, we know that. But he's the handler and the feeder to O'Biden. O'Biden, who's simply Barack Hussein 2.0. So my thought is, if Pfizer needs 55 years to release all the data on their vaccine, then I think that means that we need to wait till 2076 for the vaccine mandate to go into effect, right? We should demand 55 years before having to make any decision about the vaccine mandate. Otherwise, we're not operating with informed consent. True or false? That's true. That was only a rhetorical question. Well, you know, mainstream media, I'm going to take a break for a second from the COVID jazz. I'm going to come back to it. This is just a little break in the action. It's not an advertisement by any stretch of the imagination. You know my love for mainstream media. Not. Well, anyway, I have acronyms for all of these, new terminology, let's say, for the various news networks. You know, like NBC, I refer to it as nothing but crap. Because that's pretty much what NBC was, the one that even, gosh, I mean, they've edited the 911 call from George Zimmerman to make it look more like he was a racist. They edited, you know, they do this thing all the time. Brian Williams, he misremembered. They're just a pack of shills and whores for the Democrat Party. That's all they are. So Project Veritas. God bless these guys. I mean, before I get going on this, I don't know why they should be entitled to the Nobel Peace Prize. They should be entitled to some Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor. I don't care. Whatever medals, legitimate medals still exist out there, they deserve them all. These guys are relentless and fearless. God bless you. So what did they come up with now? They came up with the transcript of a training session at CBS where the journalists are being told specifically not to attempt to practice objectivity. That's right. The trainer even said that it's not really even possible anymore. That they should focus on transparency and accuracy. Accuracy. In other words, so what CBS was saying during 4 years of Russian collusion narrative, they determined what was accurate. See, that's all they mean. When they say accuracy, it means the truth according to our standards, by our determination. And that determination to them is the right is wrong and the left is right. They just declare the truth. They say what they want to say and declare it to be true and therefore consider accurate. So they're not there to provide objectivity or balance, and they admit it. I mean, gone are the days of Walter Cronkite. Even Walter Cronkite was tilting left. If you go back and hear some of this stuff, but at least he had an appearance of it, of objectivity. No, accuracy. This is what we want, because objectivity is not feasible. That's what they're saying. We can't do that. My goodness sakes. I mean, we already knew this. Honestly, this is not news. And then a CBS employee goes on to say, by the name of Ron Trevino. He said, I don't really care if people trust us or not. We still have a job to do. Whether they trust us or not is not my problem. Trevino. It's not news you can trust. News you can trust is news that would be objective. They lay it out and say, okay, this is what happened. We don't have to call or bring all news to a conclusion. Everything possible that they could make up, fabricate, misinterpret about Trump was part of the Russian collusion, and now Durham is revealing that there was a Russian collusion, and it was between Hillary and Igor What's-His-Face. That's the bad Russian on today's program. Ivan's a good one. Igor's a bad one. It's whatever they call to be truth and declare it to be so is what they consider to be accurate. And they went on to say that they are going to start holding individual CBS stations accountable. Accountable because we know it's important to the organization. So you're probably wondering, what does CBS really stand for? Well, the C, you can take a pick. Crappy, corrupt. I like communist. Actually, is probably better. And, of course, we all know what the BS stands for. I don't need to expound on that, do I? All right. Now back to the COVID thing. That was just a little interlude there before we get to Adam Schiff. Shifty Schiff. Bank of America, bank I've hated for a long time, because way back in the 90s, can you say 25 years ago, they came out against the Boy Scouts, back when the Boy Scouts were actually still a decent organization trying to hold the line on queer ideology, queer infiltration, queer influence, by not permitting queer scoutmasters. Oh, gosh, what can go wrong when some queer guy takes 15 youngsters out on a camp out for 3 days in the woods? Gee, what could possibly go wrong? And now the Boy Scouts folded, and then because they folded, they got sued. But B of A, I've hated them forever. It's one of the few class actions I participated in. There's a lot of class action against B of A. But what are they doing now? They are starting a pilot program where in Jacksonville, it's the first of many cities, I guess, they're planning to separate vaccinated from unvaccinated employees. I mean, this is just, you know, so they're calling it, the critics are calling it medical segregation. Now, that would be true if it weren't for the fact that the segregation occurring really is not based on anything medical. They can say it's based on the science. Well, yes, that's true. It's based on political science. I know all about it. Before I got saved, I was a political science major at the University of Michigan. I know political science, and it isn't science. But that's all the science that there is in this. So let me ask you, why is there a segregation of employees when the vaxxed employees catch it and transmit it as easily as the unvaxxed? There is no deterrent or prophylactic function of the vaccine by those who have taken the jab from transmitting it to others. So in other words, the real risk working for B of A is that if you are not vaccinated, you still can catch it, but you catch it from the vaccinated people. See, it's not based on medical science. It's based on political science. B of A's response, well, we're following the best CDC procedures. Well, the CDC, the FDA, the ones that are asking for 55 years, those are the ones we're following. So why don't we just go ahead now then and start segregating the offices based on race? Because according to most mainstream media articles, whites are just inherently white supremacists. So just have this black side of the room and then the white side of the room. In fact, I got a better idea. Because fat people, obese people, are far more akin to having COVID with problems because they might have diabetes, they have the, or let's just say, let's just shame them by putting the 2 tons on one side and the skinnies on the other side of the room. Remember the whole thing? Fatty and skinny went to bed. Fatty rolled over and skinny was dead. I think that's the first rhyme I think I ever learned. And I'm not here to shame people who are obese. My point is, why would you not separate them because of the greater comorbidity risk that overweight people have? Separate the people who've had HIV and AIDS from those who haven't. See, it has nothing to do with science. It's politics.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back with the Robin Walter Show here. I am going to shift for a second away from COVID. I'm going to come back to it. I just kind of want to keep you dangling here on a few things, but I got a couple of COVID pieces you got to hear coming up. But I don't want to miss this piece. I don't go into the whole thing about the Steele dossier. You know, Hannity is consumed with that. He's done a great job with it. That's fine. Laura Ingraham, others have covered it. I am not here in this program, as you know, to just rehash stuff that other people are saying. I'm going to do one of two things. Either I am going to bring out a biblical application to a contemporary story, or if there's not a biblical application, that's obvious, but there's some insight that I feel like God has blessed me with that hasn't been covered on the mainstream, then I'll bring that up. But I just want to point out what a Democratic scumbag Adam Schiff is. That he has come out and boldly say that he does not regret at all hyping the discredited Steele dossier. None whatsoever. His defense, let me quote him. I don't regret saying that we should investigate claims of someone who, frankly, was a well-respected British intelligence officer. Well, that's up to question already. And we couldn't have known, of course, years ago that we would learn years later that someone who was a primary source lied to him. So, you know, this is what Schiff is saying. So how would we know? How would we know any of this stuff? But let's just go believe a Russian agent before we've done any investigation of our own. We'll rely on Russian lies to serve our own political purpose, is what shifty Adam Schiff's. I mean, Orange County, I think that's where he's from. How can you be so stinking stupid to elect this guy? Okay, had enough of that. We're ready to go back to the COVID. This is going to blow you. Maybe this won't blow you away. It does not blow me away. It's what we've suspected, and now it's been confirmed. The CDC has come out and said that they actually do not have any records of naturally immune people who are naturally immune to COVID. In other words, they got the disease. They're part of the 99.8% that recovered and didn't die. They have no record of the naturally immune survivors of COVID transmitting the disease. So what does this mean? B of A? Did you want to separate the employees from the vaccinated, from the unvaccinated? Those who are not vaccinated, who have had COVID, there's not one record yet of those people transmitting the disease. Maybe they transmitted it while they were in it. That certainly can happen because that's how anything, if you have a cold, you transmit it while you have a cold. It's contagious for a period of time. The flu, the cold, the measles, the chicken pox. Yes, while you're in the throes of it, it is contagious, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who've survived it, which is the overwhelming majority, not being able to transmit it. So if you can't transmit it and you've had it, then why would you need to be segregated from the people who have been, who've received the shot? This is the jackass mentality behind B of A, Biden, the left-wing media, our health network. I mean, it's just, it's criminal. It really is criminal. And I want you to consider just something else that struck me last night. How many ways would you like, how many opportunities, let me put it that way, would you like to be exposed to death? Okay, there are those cases where somebody, there was no comorbidity, and they died of COVID. That's estimated to be about 6% of all COVID deaths had no comorbidity. 94% did. Okay, let's just start with that. Now you take that number, that 6% of a number where a very, very, very minor percentage of the people died from it. The great, great majority of people have survived it. Who can't transmit it, so why should they be shunned other than for what? Political reasons. We're back to the true science, folks. Political science. But how many ways would you like to be exposed to death? So, if you can die from the COVID, we now have over, what, 10,000 people that have died absolutely without question. I'm probably very low on it because the CDC does not track numbers it does not want to track because it destroys their narrative, their precious, stupid little narrative of the people who have died from the taking the jab. They're all over the place. I know of several of them personally. Personally, I actually know of more people who have died from the vaccine than of the disease. So, if you can die of getting COVID, which you can, yes, you can, but you can also die of taking the jab, do you realize what you've done by taking the jab has actually increased the ways by which it's adios, can exit this world? But to mystify the experts, I love it when experts get mystified. Not misty-eyed, mystified. They cannot figure out why and how the continent of Africa has not been ravaged by COVID. Ravaged by Ebola in some places, yeah. Ravaged by AIDS, without question they were. But they can't figure out why. They can't figure it out. We do not know why this is not racing and coursing its way across the continent. People say, well, there aren't many. The defense of against that is that, well, there aren't many visitors to Africa. They don't have many people come. Wait a second. If it's that contagious and other diseases have ravaged Africa, then why isn't this one? It doesn't take 40,000 tourists a week, 15% of them infected, to spread the disease across the continent. Now, I understand that there is probably less travel among nations and between nations, maybe in Africa than in other parts of the world. But there's still travel. And if this is that contagious, why is it not happening? Why is the COVID rate in Africa, goodness sakes, what is it? Let me make sure I get this right. African authorities acknowledge that they are not reporting huge numbers of unexpected fatalities that might be COVID related. World Health Organization data shows that deaths in Africa make up only 3%. Come on, the numbers don't lie here. The deaths in Africa make up only 3% of the global total COVID deaths. 3%. And the Americas, meaning basically the Western Hemisphere, is 46% of the total, and Europe is 29%. So let's break this down a little bit. The places where the COVID deaths are allegedly over the top, be that comorbidity, not comorbidity, pre or post vaccination, they don't break it down that way. But it's the greatest in the two continents where the vaccine has been applied the greatest. Africa was crying and begging for the vaccine, so we need it, we couldn't get it, and that was where the whole racial equity component of the COVID thing came out, that it was discriminatory to not be getting the vaccine to Africa, when it turns out Africa doesn't even need that crapola. It doesn't. I mean, could something happen in the future? Yeah, I suppose it could. But it ain't happening yet. So can they really figure out why, when other things have ravaged that continent, this is not? It's why the WHO is mystified. Now, when they report that they're mystified, it means one of two things. Either A, we actually know why they haven't been ravaged. We just don't have the cojones to say it, because we'll be fired. It's game over for us in the respect department. Or they really don't know, but they're not going to speculate until they can come up with something that leaves the value of the vaccine in place. You get that? There you go. Those are the only two possibilities. They know the answer, and it's game up, game over. Or they don't know the answer, but it's going to take them a while to figure out an answer that's politically acceptable, that leaves their derriere untorched, and the mandates in place when it's all said and done. They said they wanted 55 years to figure it out. No, I'm making that up. Not much of a stretch, though, is it? Okay, I'm going to move off the COVID thing again. We're back and forth here. I don't know. I kind of like doing this thing, kind of back and forth. But anyway, I wanted to get to Rittenhouse. I don't have much to say on that that hasn't been said, but I have a few things. One thing I'm going to put in here is that the Olympic organizers have finally just all out declared war on all fairness with a major rule change. I want to quote Grant Atkinson from the Western Journal here. He said, since 2015, the International Olympic Committee has required men who identify as women to lower their testosterone levels to compete in women's events. This week, on Tuesday, it rolled back those requirements. It says, now the International Olympic Committee now claims there is no scientific consensus on how testosterone affects performance across all sports. End quote. Notice all sports. Well, I don't think chess is an Olympic sport, but there certainly are Olympic sports. Maybe it's the, what's that one where they roll the ball? I can't even think what it is now. They roll the ball down across the green. And in other words, there's no curling. That's what I'm trying to think of. There's no indication that testosterone would play an effect or have an effect in curling, because there's no physical demand where testosterone would come into play. So how do they cover them? I'll tell you, I'm never watching another stinking piece of crap Olympics in my life. Never. Too bad. I'm not watching it. No scientific consensus on how testosterone affects performance across all sports. They had to throw the all in there. They had to bring curling in there to make this statement true, when in fact it is a bald-faced lie as it relates to most all Olympic sports, just not all sports. So what have I been saying? They said there's no scientific. Is this science? Absolutely. It's political science. It's politics. These are a bunch of yin-yangs with no cojones themselves trying to contend that somehow all the men faking to be women don't have a testosteronic advantage in weightlifting, in boxing, in wrestling, where the men are just killing it. This is how stupid and politically driven and controlled the International Olympic Committee is, I'm done with you guys. Last Olympics ever. I will watch reruns gladly over and over of Ozzie and Harriet. And when I'm done with Ozzie and Harriet, for all those you don't go back that far, reruns of Home Improvement and Last Man Standing. There are a few good old reruns out there, all of which beat Olympic sports these days. We can't trust it. I wanted to go through something by Joel Pollack, the 10 media myths exploded during the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I do not have time for that. But what I do have time for is one comment that I want to make here. That, well, I guess it's two. Beside the fact that the only racist in this whole thing was Rosenbaum, who was, he was, I don't know why blacks didn't beat the crap out of him before Rittenhouse shot him. And frankly, I'm not bothered or traumatized by the fact that Rosenbaum is dead. Good riddance, as far as I'm concerned. He's scum. But the fact that the media and Joe Biden continues to contend that Rittenhouse is an example of white supremacy. Let me point out the simple fact. Kyle Rittenhouse went to Kenosha to help a car dealer protect his property. The car dealer is Indian. The three people that Kyle Rittenhouse shot are white. How can a white supremacist in defense of an Indian's property shoot three white people and be a white supremacist when Rosenbaum was the one who was going around calling people niggers? Have people say the N-word. I'm just saying that's what he was saying. He was calling people that. The guy who was shot was saying that. He was the one that's out using the N-word. And Rittenhouse is the white supremacist, the racist. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. I mean, this is how wicked and evil our federal government is. And that's not even actually really what I wanted to share. What I wanted to share was the scariest thing about this are the interviews that I saw. The first one I saw with Ferdinand Garcia. Marco Garcia, I think it was. I'm not really sure what his first name is. Last name is Garcia. But there were others interviewed. And why was the reason that they felt that Rittenhouse should be convicted? The evidence had nothing to do with the evidence. Nothing. They've said that he needs to be convicted. Otherwise, more violence and property damage is going to break out. Is that sick or what? That is the most perverted left-wing. Look, okay, we don't want these Nazi left-wing brown shirts. And don't say, well, Hitler, well, he's a right-winger. No, he's left. Whenever anybody is in control as a dictator, it's not a distinction between Nazism and communism as to which government actually controls all of the businesses as opposed to some of the businesses. If you're a dictator, you're a dictator. You're left-wing. You don't believe in God. That I haven't found one yet. Not in modern-day politics, anyway. To think that we got to yield and cave to the anarchists, the burn, loot, and murder crowd of BLM and Antifa and Occupy Wall Street and all the other left-wing yin-yangs. We got to do what they want, what the media wants, and send and pack away a guy for life because otherwise violence is going to break out. You know what that sort of reminds me of? This came to me. Wasn't it Gamaliel, the priest? The high priest that said that it would be better for Jesus to die? For one man to die? Then for the Romans to come and wax everybody else because of that one man. Let's kill the innocent man. lest something worse happens to us? Wow. It's an epiphany. It's a revelation. God just gave me that. That is the horrible thing about this thing. But I want to tell you, I don't want you to lose hope. The love of God is perfect. He is going to keep you if you will trust Him and let Him keep you. A couple of weeks ago, I drove back from the Midwest to Arizona. Yes, I drove 2,230 miles in 2 days. Was it foolish? No. It was worse than foolish. It was stupid to be driving, what, 1,115 miles a day at 16 or 17 hours? And I wasn't even speeding. Well, when I left the Midwest, I had a prayer. I prayed God for, you know, people call it travel mercies. You know, He says He'd be with us low until the ends of the earth. He'll not leave us nor forsake us, right? And I prayed for safety and protection and cover, which really came down to two things. A, don't let my car break down. And B, God protect me from accidents. But when I got specific in my prayer about asking God to protect me from accidents, I included something that I know well about, having been raised in Michigan, and that is, it's deer season. It's late October. It's rutting season. It's when the boys are after the girls. It's when bucks chase does. Well, it's kind of interesting. I've observed their behavior, and you'll see a buck sniffing in the air, catching, what is it, the pheromones or something emitted by the doe. He's sniffing. She's only 15 feet away grazing, and he's sniffing and looking around like, where is that coming from? It's really pretty funny. I saw a buck one time after a doe. He went behind her garage, and they didn't come out. And about an hour later, I don't see the doe, but I see the buck off on the side sleeping. So, well, some things are different throughout the whole, or some things are the same everywhere. Anyway, that was my prayer. God, protect me from deer specifically. I leave at 3 a.m. It's dark for 4 hours. It's raining. I'm on a two-lane road. It's kind of woodsy. It's the worst possible situation. I'm just south of South Bend, Indiana. And out comes a doe, bounds a whitetail right in front of my car. And I go, oh no, I'm going to get it. Why? Because it's rutting season. And I know that a buck is in pursuit of his girl. And there was no buck. I was spared. I don't know what she was running from. Maybe he's really slow. And then I am 25 miles west of Gallup, New Mexico. I was up at 3 a.m. that day. It's 10:30. I hadn't eaten yet. So I went on my phone and I said, Siri, take directions to a Denny's in Gallup, New Mexico. Well, it was 22 miles away, right off the freeway. Perfect. Then something happens. The most gorgeous truck I've ever seen in my life passed me on the left. Now, I don't get all caught up about trucks particularly, but this one I did. It was beautiful. It was this Peterbilt. It was green, a gorgeous green. And just shortly after he passed me, all of a sudden out of my right eye, I see an exit and I see a Denny's sign, not 22 miles a gallop, but just a couple hundred feet. And I make a dangerous move to the right. I catch that exit. I exit at about 70 miles an hour because I'm hungry. Well, I eat my meal. I get back on the highway. 20 minutes later, I go down the road about 2 miles. Traffic is stopped. Traffic is completely stopped. There's cruisers up there. There's lights. There's flashers. I get up there. Two trucks had tangled on the freeway. Their trailers were now disconnected. One of them was that gorgeous green Peterbilt that I would have been right behind if the Holy Spirit didn't show me that Denny's sign and I made a wild, crazy move, God saved me in that. I trusted him for that. I trusted him to not be hit by a deer. You can trust him. We all can trust him to bring us through this time. To not lose heart. I wasn't going to not drive because it was a dangerous time to drive. I needed to drive when I had to drive. I said, okay, God, cover me. I'm going in. That's the way it is everywhere these days. But he is more than faithful, more than able to keep that which he has chosen. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.